Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Welcome on this wonderful day of worship as we give thanks for all that God has given us. A few brief announcements before we get started. First of all, I want to give out a huge thank you to all those who helped out with our pound auction. For Floyd and Deline, for your leadership, we raised over $600 for our camp scholarship fund, which will be very good. And I hope our kids use up quite a bit of this year as we send quite a few kids to camp. Also, big thanks to all who came to our chili cook-off. We raised over $500 for our door, so I'm excited about that. The Swaldo family came home victorious the first year, so I guess Rick, you'll have to settle the debate who has the best between the two. But Cares and Prayers is going to meet on Tuesday at 1:30. Anybody is welcome to join us as we send cards out for those we're thinking and praying about. Trustees will be meeting on Wednesday at 7. Texas Roadhouse, you should have a insert in your bulletin for that, for the Dine to Donate, which will be Thursday, February 21st. That is all day at Texas Roadhouse, and the important thing to remember is that all you need is your flyer with you, but you do have to have your flyer. Any support you can give our kids for that is appreciated. Convo is in the Virgin Islands on St. Thomas, so it's a very expensive trip, so any support we can lend them is appreciated. And then this week we finally set up our ecumenical Ash Wednesday service, which will be on March 6th at Otterbein United Methodist, and that service will be at 6:30. The combined choir is invited to practice this Wednesday. The Wednesday before that service at Otterbein at 7, if you're interested in being in that choir. The important thing to remember, if you can't make that practice, you're welcome to join them the day of. We just didn't, because it is a 6:30 service, we didn't have a whole lot of free time beforehand for a practice before, but from what I understand, the hymn will be easy to follow along for those of you that want to. There's an insert in your bulletin, once again, for Bears and Cares. You see our stuffed animal choir is growing. I hope it continues to grow. I have a feeling we'll have a pretty big stuffed animal to join us soon. Also, there's a bulletin insert called Needs and Dreams. That is helping us discern the gift that we were given by the Denzer family. So if you could please fill that form out for us. We have a little basket. You can put it in the back. And when we have our town hall on the last Sunday in February, we're going to share with you the results of what people shared. And we're hoping that these can really shape our conversation about how we can proceed with this gift. The big thing is the needs is looking at kind of the basic structure of facility needs that when you look at Schönbrunn are things that you'd like to see upgraded. The dreams are kind of thinking about the ministries of the church, places that we could reach. And the important thing to remember, as I know I've told you this before, but whatever you think of does not need to require money. If it costs nothing, those are our favorite kind of ministries to do at this church, because you can do a lot just by with the willingness to serve one another. And that really goes a long way. At this time, I invite anybody else who has an announcement. Amy? Thank you for sharing. Anybody else have any other announcements? All right, let us stand and greet one another. Oh, Rylan, hold on. What was that, Rylan? Happy Valentine's Day. Let us stand and greet one another, and we'll share God's love with one another. You may remain standing as we join together in our watchword for the week. And our watchword this week comes from the 138th Psalm, the 5th verse. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. You may be seated.
We will praise you, O Lord, with all our hearts.
We will bow down before you in your holy temple and praise your name.
The Lord will fulfill his purpose for us. Your love, O Lord, endures forever.
May they sing the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great.
Please stand as we join together to sing, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky.
Thank you. Say it. May the ushers and greeters please come forward.
Let us turn our hearts and our minds to a time of prayer today. We remember Debbie Kinsey, whose husband passed away. So we offer our sympathy and resurrection hope to their family. For Jim Eichel, who was in the hospital with GI bleeding, Jean Ann's brother, we continue to hold him in prayer and hope that the doctors and nurses and Jim himself are strengthened at this time. We continue to pray for Vicki Eichel, who continues to face many health complications right now. Please keep her and your loved ones in prayer. For Lynn Capretta, who's also facing many health issues at this time, and undergoing many test results. For Rianne Ryan, a seventh grader at Wealthy Middle School, who's at Akron's Children's in critical condition, suffering from complications of influenza B and pneumonia. We pray for Rianne, for her family, for her friends, and for her family who support her at this time. Sympathy and resurrection hope to the family of Neva Rees, who would be Becky Canfield's aunt, who passed away last week. Continue to uplift her and support. Neva was mostly famous in this area for her role as Rosie the Riveter during World War II, and so many from that great generation we can give thanks to, who are always willing to step up, and as we sang in Here I Am, the Lord of Scott, Here I Am, Lord, It Is I, Lord. There are so many people, like Neva, willing to step up. Sympathy and resurrection hope to the family of Trevor Alberts, who passed away at 47 from a heart attack. He was a COO of the New Philadelphia School District and a coach on many of their different sports teams. His memorial service was held this past Friday at New Point. But continue to hold him, the New Philadelphia staff, and all the kids who knew Trevor in your thoughts and prayers. And as we get ready to celebrate Valentine's Day, let us give thanks for the love that God gives us, for the gift of romantic love, for the gift of family love, and most importantly, for the gift of graceful love from above. For all of us are recipients of the love of God. So let's take a moment in silence and invite God into this time of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we ask that we come before you in a spirit of humility and grace, and recognizing that we are not worthy of all the great things we receive, but you are willing, to bestow them upon us. So like Isaiah, who was willing to answer the call, and Simon Peter, both humble in their willingness to see that it is not their own prominence, their own power, or their own positions that make them disciples of Christ, but it comes from their willingness to let you work through them, to remind people that God can redeem, care for, and live through anyone. And we give you thanks for that. Gracious God, we have many people on our thoughts and prayers today. We think of Debbie and Jim and Vicky and Lynn and Rianne and Neva, and for the family of Trevor Alberts, we realize that there are so many people who are hurting, who are in pain, who are grieving. But you remind us that we never walk this journey alone. And may your presence be a comfort to all who are in need today. And gracious God, as we prepare our hearts for communion today, we ask that you help us recognize that we are imperfect, that we are sinners, that we make mistakes, and that we confess by what we have done and what we have not done. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. But still, your grace blots out all our transgressions, and we get to live in a world of mercy, grace, and love. And when it is so easy to judge others, help us to remember that it is you first that withholds judgment on all of us, and that we are called to love one another with the same mercy that abides in you should also abide in us. In your gracious name we pray. Amen.
This is from Isaiah 6, 1 through 8, page 487. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. and they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with its tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me."
Thank you, Daniel. Our gospel today comes from the 5th chapter of Luke, verses 1 to 11. Jesus calls the first disciples. "Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch.' Simon answered, 'Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets.' When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man.' For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, the son of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people.' When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him." This is the reading of God's holy word. May it reach your heart, your minds, and your actions. Thanks be to God. At this time, I invite the children to come forward for the children's chat. Oh, Nick, do you have your fishing or your butterfly nets?
Thank you, sir.
I can take that. So come on up. So how's everybody doing today? Did you survive a whole week of school this week with no snow days? Were you happy about that, or was it a pretty rough week to get through? I can understand that. So we're going to talk about, in our gospel lesson today, we learned that Jesus made his disciples fishermen. Does anybody know what he made them fishermen of? Paige? People. To bring people together, to bring them to Jesus so they could know about God's love. So I had my youth worship assistant, Mr. Nick Menapace, I asked for a fishing net, but this is a butterfly net, which is perfect for catching people. Much easier than a fishing net where the holes, they can seep through those. But this way is an easier route to do. So what I'm going to have you do as a group now is I'm going to help you find me some people in our church, and you're going to point them out for me with your butterfly net. Don't bonk them with them, but you can point them out with it. So this is your first task. I want you to find me an adult in this congregation who was at one time in the Miss Minor pageant. Go point her out. You got to go all the way down there. Fishermen got to go to the fish. That would be Missy. So Missy Martin was in there. This one you might be able to help out with, Rylan. Find me an adult in the congregation who once played college baseball.
Don't know anybody.
What's that?
I don't know anybody.
I think you know somebody.
I know one.
Who do you know, Aubrey? Go find him. Who played college baseball one time? Ross, your dad played college baseball. That's a good one. So you and Robin are going to need to have a conversation maybe this afternoon. What's that? Oh, okay. Well, that was a long time ago before we had you. But who helps? This is one you boys might know. Who's somebody who helps people rehab their injuries? When they hurt their leg or they do something and they need somebody. All right, your mom does that. All right, good job. Thank you very much. All right, now these fish you're going to have to fish a little bit harder for because they're not going to be your parents. You're going to have to ask around. Find me an adult who is a teacher. Emily was a substitute teacher. Angie, she's a teacher there. All right. Here's your next one. This one might be a hard one for you. You're going to have to ask around about this one. Somebody who is a veteran of our United States military. Somebody paid attention who is coming to school. Mr. Norm. We have anybody else? Mr. Jim? All right, here's your last one. This is a big fish you got to find. Find somebody who grew up in a different state. There's one. Can you find any others? I'm one. Got some Florida fish over there. Some sea fish. Me? How about anybody else? Mary Ann Creel, she grew up in Mississippi. Can anybody spell Mississippi? We'll work on that one. There's Harley, who grew up in Florida. Audrey and Barry lived in Florida, but they're... Are you both native? No. You're native Ohio. Barry's not native Ohio, right?
He went to Fort Lauderdale when he was five.
Oh, God. Emily grew up in Fennargill, Pennsylvania. Actually, New Jersey, sorry. But you grew up when you were 12. Now I'm going to get in trouble for that one. Okay. So what was easy about that? What was easy, Tyler? Or what was hard? What was easy or what was hard? Paige, are you playing with your hair? That's a good way to have your hand in the air. So why do you think you were able to find fish so easily? Nick? They're family, because guess what? You knew all these fish here, right? And that in order to take care of all the fish that we have here, which are our church, you got to know people. You got to care about them and you got to love them. And so what allows us to be a good church is that we know all these things about each other. We know who's a teacher. We know who used to play college baseball. We know who's a therapist. We know who's a teacher. And that's part of what allows us to thrive, because Jesus just doesn't want us to treat each other like generic fish, but like that we know each other. So that's your job as disciples and Christians, is to take time to get to listen to people and know things about people. Because everybody is an important fish. There are no small fish in God's lake, because each one of us deserve to be caught and belong to Jesus. So let's take a moment in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, we ask that you bless these kids and help them to be fishermen and women in their lives, and to seek people for you, God, and to take some time to get to know people, to care about people and love people, their family, their friends at school, and everybody they encounter, for we know that all can serve God, and all of us belong to you. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen. All right, go ahead and grab a snack. Let us take a moment in prayer. Gracious God, I ask that you open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to the message that you inspire within us today, and help us to carry those words in our lives so that we too can reach people as you taught us to be passionate and caring for all those we encounter. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen. So I think I've shared this with you all before as a congregation, but my family takes vacations every summer to St. Germain, Wisconsin. In fact, you can go through our family photo albums and we have the same picture in front of the same statue since I was a boy and since my father was a boy. His grandparents took him to the same exact spot in the same exact cabins, which we've even outlived the cabins there because they have now been rebuilt two or three times. And I have tried painfully many times to try to get my family to vacation someplace else. I've offered North Carolina, I've offered Florida, I've offered Nashville, and every time I offer a different location, my mom and dad look at me like I just killed their cat, like I just destroyed their dreams by proposing that we could vacation in someplace else. And I can promise you this, I don't know the day that Jesus will return, but if it happens in the middle of August, you know where the Lippert family will be. They will be in St. Germain, Wisconsin. And St. Germain is one of the top tourist destinations of Wisconsin in the summer, because the consistent upper 70s temperature makes late summer kind of feel like a tall, cold drink of water. Instead of all those mosquito bites and sweating, it's comfortable, it's nice. And when you're in St. Germain, Wisconsin, the place to be is the water. You can see the jet skis, the pontoons, the fishing boats, all the people up there. Life on the water is a way of life. And I wouldn't be surprised if on some summer days there are more people on water than on land in St. Germain. And one of my favorite things to do whenever we go up north is to watch the different boats, because there is quite a different wide variety of boats. On one side of the lake, the rich people's side of the lake, we call it, there are pontoons that have been jacked up. They have huge Yamaha motors that probably rival the size of me. And they have fish trackers that they can tell you the size, the species, and they can almost tell you what that fish had for breakfast. That's how good these fish trackers are. And these people, we often call them the big-time Chicago businessmen who are off for their week in the woods to play fishermen and get that profile picture with the big muskie next to them. But on the opposite side of the lake, the other side of the lake, the poor people side that we live on, there's another type of fisherman. These are the fishermen that take their simple aluminum boats that they've had for a long time their old Evinrude motors, usually from the 60s or 70s, that they still find a way to work, but God bless them, those things were built to last. And if they are feeling really fancy, super fancy, they might have a nice seat cushion for themselves. Which, if you've talked to them, it took them a while to get used to that idea. But if you meet these fishermen, you'll talk to them, and you'll get to know that their tracking system is not so fancy. Their tracking system is inside them. It's internal. And it came from thousands of hours they invested on fishing this lake, getting to know this lake, getting to know the nooks, the crannies, and the fish that live there. And these fishermen, they know what bait these fish like. They know what bait these fish don't like. It doesn't matter how fancy the bobber or the lure is, but they know when it's in season, they know when it's not in season. So my question for you, brothers and sisters, if you were to go to this lake this summer and you had a choice which side of the lake that you wanted to fish on, who would you go fishing with? Who would you follow? What spot would you congregate to? Because I think so often, when we think about churches, when we think about the small little churches versus the big mega churches, we think about people like Andrew, James, John, and Simon Peter in this story. And we think about how we often focus on the boats that have all the right bells and whistles, the fancy motors, the tracking system. But we forget one crucial thing. It's not about the boat. It's about what brings people together. And we have to remember that with all the bells and whistles, all the contemporary music and fancy things that you could get in different places, we fail to remember that convenience can get somebody through the doors of a church, but it's connection that convinces them to stay. Convenience can get you through the door of a place, but it's connection that convinces you to stay. Connection to God, connection to the people around you, connection to as a whole. Because we, as a people of God, are relational. We take care of one another. That's what we are called to do. And it's also important when we think about ourselves as fishermen and women for the gospel. It's crucial that when we are sharing God's love with someone, we take the pressure off of producing results. Because that can be a very humbling experience for us. Because we have to remember the results are in God's hands. And I think of the thousands of times I've thrown that perfect cast, you know, right at the edge of the weeds. It's dusk. You can hear the loons. It's a beautiful sound. And I think of how often that perfect cast has come up empty with goose eggs. Nothing. And there's also been times when I was 5 or 6 and I was whiny. I just wanted to get off the boat. But the bluegills were in season. And I didn't even have to cast it. I could just drop the little reel and pull it right up, and I'd have my little bluegill right there. There was no energy or enthusiasm about it, but the fish were hungry, and that's what matters. Because any good fisherman or fisherwoman knows that without some hungry fish, fishing can be a long day. It can be a very long day. And we as Christians, too, should remember that without someone truly realizing a need for Christ in their lives, our best efforts, our perfect casts, can all be for naught. Because perfect casts are meaningless without the help we receive from God. Because God is the one that ultimately hooks the fish. And the other important thing that we hear in our messages today is there is no such thing as perfect disciples or leaders. In both our scriptures today, Isaiah and Simon Peter recognized their flaws. Isaiah promised God that he had unclean lips. Not only did he have unclean lips, but the entire community of people that he lived with. God worked through him. Simon Peter, when he saw God perform this miracle on his boat, humbly said, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Humility marked both of these leaders, even though God worked through both of them. And how often, it's a rare trait to find in our leaders, somebody who's willing to say, "I'm not the answer to everything, but I'm excited to see what God can do through me." What would our leadership look like today in our world if people had that willingness and that humility? And I think when we think about ourselves, especially on a day when we have communion, one of our toughest tasks as a Christian is learning to confront our sinful nature. How do we handle that? How do we struggle with that? And I personally struggle with it as a preacher and a teacher. I struggle with it as a Christian on my own faith walk. How do we embrace our own sinful shortcomings without developing an inferiority complex about who we are as children of God, about who we are as people? How do we recognize our own humility? We'll still find the strength to look ourselves in the mirror. And when we think about these very weighty questions, there's no easy answer or quick fix to that question. And if you have that answer, please let me know, because I've been struggling with that question for a long, long time. Because the challenge we have is we need to look at ourselves and our own shortcomings. And I think it's important because I think when God looks at us, God sees more than just our own shortcomings in our self-reflection. That's why God went to the cross. And the gift of grace should take us from a place where we feel utterly worthless to where we feel spiritually empowered. That's what God gives us. And this is a gift that we receive every single time we remember what Jesus went to the cross for. And I almost wish at every communion service we came with a list of our sins for the month. And I actually did this exercise this month, thinking of all my shortcomings and all my flaws. And I'll share some of them with you. I underlined it sins, but I was thinking about all the different Ten Commandments. And I talked about how I was quick to anger. I took people for granted. I let time with God become a luxury and not a necessity. I took the Lord's name in vain. I treated the Sabbath like another day. I have not called my parents as often as I should. I was envious of what others had and not grateful for the many blessings I received. I gossiped. I was selfish with my time commitments when I could have been willing to serve more. And take some time to think about those. Think about what your own list would be. What would be on there? What would you turn over to God? Because we could come with this list every month, and then when we take communion together, we hear God's offer of forgiveness, and we could tear up those lists as a visible sign that these sins no longer define us, that they are washed away, that we have been made anew. Because we are defined by the love Christ pours out for us. For God's grace and God's forgiveness is not just a one-time thing, but it is a way of life. And it gives us the strength and the power to take all these bad things that we think we are and to throw them away. Because God does that for us every single time we come to the table. Let us get ready to commune with God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we ask that you really prepare our hearts and remember that each day you forgive us. You remind us that we are far greater than what we see in the mirror. That whenever we become overpowered by our flaws and our weaknesses, help us to remember that you are our strength, our crutch, and our eyes should be fixed upon you. For you will wipe away every tear, every transgression, and you will use them as a reminder of the grace that you bless us with every single day. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen. You may remain seated as we join together in song. For those of you who are following along in your book of worship, you can join me in the service for Holy Communion and the celebration of the Atonement on page 196. Let me remind you before we begin our service of communion that the Moravian Church has an open communion table. All who welcome God in their heart are welcome here. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us extend the right hand of fellowship. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for an invitation to your table today. And we humbly accept this invitation and ask that we not look at the sins of our brothers and sisters, but we take some time to examine our own shortcomings and how we have fallen short of your glory. But gracious God, help us to remember we are not a people marked by our transgressions, but by your grace. And when we think about this table, help us not think of an exclusive table, but a table where there is always room for one more, for we are all sinners and we are all loved. Let us pray together the prayer that you taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Please rise. Our Lord Jesus said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you." By your divine presence, by the holy sacraments, by all the merits of your life, suffering, death, and resurrection.
Bless and comfort us, gracious Lord and God. Amen.
In the same way, after supper, our Lord Jesus Christ took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." You may be seated.
Thank you.
our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Drink from this, all of you. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Christ, the Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. This bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death
until he comes.
Let us extend the right hand of fellowship. Be seated. Whoa, secret handshake time. Peace, Paige. Peace, Charlotte. Peace, Steve. Peace, Joyce. Peace, Randy. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.